Welcome to the Victory World Outreach Podcast. We pray this message brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
For just a couple minutes tonight, we're going to pray in a few minutes. And I want to just, if you would, to turn in your Bibles with me over to the book of Mark. I'm going to preach an amazing message tonight. Not because it's so great, but because God is great on amazing, amazing faith. How many know that Jesus was amazed a couple of times? That's why this sermon's amazing, because it talks about Jesus being amazed. It says in Mark chapter 6, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were what? They were amazed. They said, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? And then they scoffed, like so many people do. They just mocked. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. They weren't just offended, they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. And Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. They were amazed, but he was even more amazed. And I can just see, like, can you imagine Jesus being somewhat flabbergasted? I mean, he can't believe it. They have such lack of faith and so much unbelief. He's amazed by it. And our starting point of victory is, it ought to be not one of defeat, but of victory in what Jesus has done at the cross. That's where we begin, in what Jesus accomplished. We don't begin in our own strength and in our own merit. It's what Jesus has already accomplished for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of faith, there's a lot of power in faith, but there's also a lot of power in unbelief. And when it comes to faith, I'd kind of like to ask you, where are you on the faith meter for whatever it is you're believing God for? Are you on the full side? Some people, they like to drive, as soon as it gets halfway on the tank, they want to fill it back up. Is anybody in that camp? There's a couple people here. Some people, you drive it all the way down until it's just fumes. Who's in that camp? I'm sorry to say, I think I'm in that camp from time to time. I was riding back from Pastor Abe's, and I've got my map on, and I've got the car that tells me how many miles I can go. And I'm looking at the map, and I'm looking at the car, back and forth, and I say, okay, the gas miles are more than the travel miles, so I'm just going to keep on going. Oh, there's only one problem with that. I hit a dry stretch. And then, next thing you know, the miles started clicking down on the car faster than the one on the map. And Emily had already asked me three times, do we have enough gas? Oh, we've got plenty of gas. Don't even worry about it. And then all of a sudden, it got real quiet on my side of the car. And she knew something was wrong. And about then, that's about the time I started praying that I was going to make it. And we did. I think we just barely made it. I don't like to live like that. And I've done that before, and I felt like an idiot. And I said the last time, I'm never going to let that happen again. I'll never do that again. Sure enough, do it again. But where are you on the faith meter tonight? You know, I'd like to be able to say that I'm all the way on full. But the reality is, there are times when you're going through something, you hit a speed bump, or there's a circumstance in life when you're fighting, you've got to fight some things through. Unbelief begins to creep in. The strategy of the devil is to sow those seeds of unbelief and doubt in our hearts, and doubt and defeat and despair. That's not the kind of thing that you can build a strong, victorious walk with God on. You've got to deal with those thoughts, deal with those attitudes, and it's a dangerous thing when a couple, both of them, get in that place of despair and doubt and unbelief. And the devil loves to deceive people if they don't understand, the authority that they have or who they are in Jesus Christ and what's possible. And even a brand new Christian can understand that you have authority. You have dominion. When you pray, it matters. God hears you. Thank God for people that can come around us, but what about when you can't get a hold of somebody and you don't have people around you? You pray. You have authority. You call on God. You bind the devil. You tell the devil to back off. You have that authority. And we battle it every day, and unbelief will ruin every opportunity for a miracle that God wants to do in your life. And there's a lot of them. I want you to know God has a lot of miracles. He's got more than one way to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life. But if unbelief gets in the way, it will ruin every opportunity for a miracle that God has for your life. We don't even realize it sometimes, how many opportunities we have missed that God wanted to do something in our lives. He wanted to use us. He wanted to show himself strong in us. But we just couldn't see it. How could it happen for me? I don't deserve it. A lot of people think like that. I don't have that kind of faith. I don't deserve that kind of a miracle in my life. So other people, you know, they've earned it. No, I don't deserve it. Well, that's not the case. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you and your life. And we have to battle these things in our lives. It says in Luke chapter 7. This is another passage of scripture where it talks about him being amazed. Jesus had just finished speaking and saying all this to the people, and he returned to Capernaum. And at that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So he earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home. I'm not even worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." I wonder when Jesus looks at us, if he says, you know, "I haven't seen faith like this before." It takes faith. If you need a miracle in your life, you've got to exercise faith. That word exercise means that it may start out small, but it begins to build in your life. You exercise it. You're taking a step, and every time there's an opportunity or there's a challenge and there's something that is on your heart, and it's time to step out, you have a choice. You can either play it safe in life, or you can step out. And you'll never know what God can do unless you step out. So what is it going to be? Are we going to expect a guarantee, which is how a lot of people are? They want to know, steps 4, 5, and 6 before they take 1 or 2. They got to know the end. Hey, tell me how this is going to turn out. I got to know how this is going to work out first before. God doesn't work like that. No, he says, you step out and then I'll meet you. And then I'll show you what to do for the next step, and then for the next step, and the next step. This is how, it's how we learn. And as, and we've said it before, that when we obey what God puts upon our hearts and we do the right thing, it leads us to a, another word from God. He speaks to us again and again and again. We don't need to hear from God just once. We need to hear from him again tomorrow. Thank God for Wednesday night service, but what's good for Wednesday night is not enough for Sunday. He's doing something fresh in us. And we're going to face some things tomorrow. Maybe you'll face some things this next week. You've never faced them before. You've never been across that bridge before. But God's going to give you the strength to step out. And in faith, you're going to obey God. We're just going to say, God, you lead me. God, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. I'm going to step out in faith. How do you think that these men and women who are written about as missionaries and they've gone around the world preaching the gospel, that you read books about these people? Not because they stayed home and had a guarantee on life. They didn't have anything except a word from God, a promise that God, wherever I go, you're going with me. Because your word says you'll never leave me or forsake me. And God, you commanded me to go, and I don't need anything except for that. That's where God meets somebody. And we come tonight because we're coming to pray. We're coming with authority. We're coming to challenge the gates of hell and challenge the devil. And in faith, we're going to believe God for the supernatural in whatever it is. Did you see how many people, for those in the 11 a.m. service, how many people came up on Sunday morning with impossible cases? I didn't ask whether it was a medical need or a financial or whatever it was, but there were impossible cases. Impossible means you can't find a way out on your own. But God is the God of impossible things. And that storm began to swirl, and it began to freak them out a little bit. And they look out there and they say, wait a minute, I see somebody, something's out there. Hold on a minute. I think that looks like Jesus out there. It would probably freak me out too. But Peter had enough guts to say, Lord, if that's you out there, bid me to come and tell me to come. And of all the disciples, with all of his mistakes and failures that he'd done, who hasn't made a few mistakes? Here's Peter. He's got enough guts to say, if that's you, tell me to come. And he puts his one leg over the side of that boat into something that you wouldn't think you'd be able to walk on. But Jesus is walking. It'd be like Jesus standing over there and it's nothing but air saying, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And if I stepped off, how many would be amazed if I stepped off and walked on air right here? Those disciples, their eyes were sticking out of their heads. Look at that. Here's Peter walking on water. They'd never done that. And look at how many people sit back and they play it safe in life. But meanwhile, somebody's got just enough faith in God and they've seen enough of his word and say, you know what? If God can do it in somebody else's life, then they're human and I'm human. And I'm pretty sure if they can do it, then God can do it for me too. What makes them any different than me? God, I'm going to trust you just as well. See, what happens with a lot of people is they put the emphasis on the fact that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. That's where their emphasis is, that he took his eyes off. But really, it was that he was walking on water. Now, do we take our eyes off of the Lord from time to time? You better believe it. And it's what Peter did. But the fact is, Jesus walked back to the boat with him. And he was still walking on water. And I guarantee you, he was talking about that for a while. Hey, guys, did you see what happened yesterday? Me and Jesus walking on water. I'd have gone a long ways with that, wouldn't you? Hey, guys, remember last week? I don't know what you were thinking, but I was walking on water. Me and Jesus. Don't you know that the Bible is, it says the books cannot contain all that Jesus did. There's so much more that he did. Why not, if he did it for them, why not for me and for you? Why not? He can do that for us. Walking by faith, it's like walking on water. We know that it's going to work. It says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. In Hebrews 11, 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the nature of faith. You can't see it. You're just standing on God's word and His promises. And He says, you know what? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5 is where that's at. Do you trust God in spite of what you can see? Here's where we miss it, is we start to reason it out. We put pen to paper and we start to calculate it. Well, what about this and what about that? We've got everything. It's got to be written down, and we've got to have an understanding of everything. Faith doesn't work like that. Faith says, God, I'm going to trust you in spite of everything that I see. It might look like everything is stacked against me in this, but I'm not talking about carnal stupidity. I'm not talking about being carnal and just doing whatever it is we want to do and then saying, Lord, bless this. Because we want to do it, and we're just going to pray, and we want the Lord to bless our carnal decisions. No, I'm talking about moving under the anointing and the authority of God in the things that matter to God, in the will of God. And when we move in that line, God, there's no reason why God wouldn't bless it and why God wouldn't carry us. It was Hudson Taylor that said, God's work will never lack God's supply. That's not just resources and money. That's people. That's energy. That's strength. That's all kinds of things. That's wisdom. God's work will never lack God's supply. And I want you to know His supply is unending. It's limitless. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to walk in fear and be discouraged. Just know you don't have to have the answer before you start, the end result before you start. Just begin to move out and say, God, I'm trusting you in this. And I know if it's your will. Whatever it is, make sure it's the will of God. Don't just move on your own two feet just thinking, you know, whatever happens, happens. God's going to bless it. That's why I get down when I pray. I say, God, I need your wisdom. Help me to have your mind in this. Help me to think your thoughts. Help me to see what I'm not seeing. Lord, open my eyes to what I'm missing. And many times He'll do that. Somebody will say something, or you'll get it in a dream. You'll get it at night, or you'll just be praying, and that thought comes, and it's like He directed your. He'll either close a door or He'll open a door. He does it many, many times. And that's why we're here tonight, because we're moving and exercising our faith. Some people, you don't have a lot of faith. Don't worry about it. Just trust God and begin to trust Him more and more and obey the thing you know and understand, and He'll give you more. He'll open your eyes to greater understanding. Amen. Let's bow our heads together all over this place. Tonight you might be in this place. You know, it takes faith to receive Jesus Christ. The greatest decision, the first step of faith, is to admit you're a sinner and respond to Jesus Christ and the call of salvation. Tonight, if that's you, you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not ready to stand before God, you need God's mercy and forgiveness, I want to pray for you. How many all over this place would lift up your hands? You say, Pastor, pray for me. Remember me in prayer. I need salvation. I see one. Yes. Yes. I see your hand there. How many more? You can put it down. How many more? Raise it up high where I can see it. I want to pray for you. Praise God. Tonight, some here, you need a real touch of God. You need a real miracle. I want to encourage you, pray it through. Get a hold of God. Find a place in a moment. We're going to get on our knees and we're going to pray. Pray that thing through. Know that God is at work. He's on your side. More importantly, are you on the Lord's side? He'll give you wisdom. Maybe you're praying for your marriage. You're praying for an unsaved family member. You're praying for their salvation. You're praying for a job. Maybe you're praying for a spouse. You're praying for peace about some big decision. God will meet you here tonight. I believe that. Let's all stand together, and those that want to can come and find a place around these altars, especially these that lifted their hands for salvation. I want to just pray for you. But these altars are open. Doesn't matter if you've lifted your hand or not. Just come, and we're going to find a place to pray, and we're going to take the next few minutes in the middle of the week right here to get on our knees and to bring our needs before the Lord and just tell the Lord, this is what I'm dealing with, God. This is what I'm facing. This is where I need to hear from you. Speak to me. Touch my heart. Touch my life. God, give me guidance. Lord, work in my marriage. Work in my home. Touch my children. Lord, I pray that you would guide me. Help me in my future, Lord. I know that you see tomorrow. I know you see a week and a month and a year down the road. God, help me to make the right call in whatever it is I'm facing. I need to hear your voice. Let's just begin to pray. We'll pray all across this place. We'll just lift up our voices and begin to pray out loud. Pray that God would just move in these situations.
Thanks again for joining us. If you like this message, subscribe to our podcast channel for more episodes. We would love it if you would rate it and share it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.